26, 2010. You know, yesterday I was on the drive-through HR show. It's on right now. He's on every day for half an hour at noon ET. Anyway, I was there with Jerry and Maureen, and you know what I wanted to talk about when I was on that show? I was all ready to talk about prophecy. Prophecy. I don't know if my mic is working properly today. I was going to talk about prophecy when Maureen started interviewing the host. And I got to tell you, that was it for me. I don't think I said another word in the whole show. She started acting like this guy's therapist, and he started spilling his guts instead of paying attention to me, the main guest. So let me tell you now what I was going to say then. I was going to say that prophets aren't nice guys. Prophets aren't backslappers. Prophets are out there pointing fingers. They're telling people, listen, pal, it's do or die. It's my way or it's doomsday. You take your choice. No, I was going to say, prophets aren't looking for friends. And if Brian, the host from Drive Through HR, would have asked me yesterday, Animal, are you trying to say you're a prophet? I was going to say no, Brian, but I do have a mission. I'm here for the lost sheep of social media. And I have attracted to my show people who display the characteristics of prophetic leaders. First of all, take a look at Jerry Albright, the people's coach. He doesn't mind going against the grain, telling everybody constantly that when it comes to recruiting, social media means death. It will kill you. He's always out there warning us about that. And Maureen Sherrod, the queen bee of telephone sourcing, Jerry, he leaves LinkedIn out of his attack on social media. But Maureen, she says LinkedIn, it's not all that. And they butt heads over it, the two prophets fighting with each other. And that's normal, because prophets or quasi-prophets, they like to fight. But how does prophecy, you're wondering, I know, how does prophecy relate to the average guy, the recruiter, working in an agency or in a corporation? If you start pointing fingers, people aren't going to like you. And, of course, a prophet, a real prophet, he's willing to suffer. Elijah the prophet, well, come on, I got to tell you. Elijah the prophet, he got King Ahab so mad that he had to run and hide for his life. And I'm going to guess that's not the kind of life you want. I mean, presumably, Elijah had something to say that was very, very important. But what are you going to complain about? They want to hire the second best guy instead of the very best? For those kind of problems, you don't want to be a prophet. You want to be a politician. Get everybody to like you and compromise, compromise, compromise. That's the name of the game in a normal organization. You've heard the saying, no man is a prophet in his own land. Well, in my opinion, that's overstating the case. Where else is he going to be a prophet? But I will tell you what is true. No man is a prophet in his own home. And you can ask Barack Obama. Remember during the election how his wife was busy complaining on TV that he doesn't put the bread away properly? When millions of other people were totally swooning over the guy and they had to be carried out of his rallies on stretchers. Yes, it's true. Look at the way she looked at him. That's how your coworkers look at you. You're just an ordinary schmo to them. So, you don't want to get too big for your britches. Remember this. This is my moral. Putting up with stuff you don't like, that's the heroism of the everyday man and the working woman. You've got to suck it up. And I don't mean that in a bad way. So, Jerry, can you tell us what show is this?
The Recruiting Animal Show!
Thank you, Jerry. I started the music a little too early. Sorry about that. Chris Russell. Chris Russell.
Yes, sir.
Chris Russell, are you there?
Hey now.
Hey now. Does that mean yes?
Yes, sir.
Okay. Present. Welcome, Chris Russell. Welcome. Now, listen,
thank
Chris,
you.
Before we get going, can I just make a recommendation of a great Firefox add-on that I started using this week before I talk to you?
Sure.
Okay. It's called Screenshot. I think it's fantastic. In the past, when I wanted to take a picture of my computer screen, I would hit print screen and then open Paint, that, you know, one of those Microsoft basic programs, and I would paste it into Paint, and then I would save it from there. With this thing, you just got to right-click your mouse, and it gives you the option of, you know, showing copying just the window you've got going or the whole screen, and even the stuff you can't see. I know they've got versions of it for Google Chrome and probably for Internet Explorer as well. I recommend it, and here's one reason why. Because it's not true at all that the Internet is forever. And even if you copy something down, there's no proof that it was ever there. If they take it down or they change it, I mean, if you're quoting someone, you can get in big trouble. But if you take a picture of it, you're on safer ground. Okay. Do you use that, Chris?
No, but I'll check it out. It's a good,
yeah.
good idea.
Yeah, check it out. Anybody else use it? Anybody else want to comment on it? It's very good. Screenshot. Just go to Google and put Screenshot Firefox add-on or something like that, and you'll find it. It's really I'm very enthusiastic about it. Okay, Chris, let me see if there's anything else I wanted to say. I just wanted to thank DriveThruHR for having us on yesterday, especially Jessica Miller-Merrill. She said, animal, this is what she said on Twitter, animal, trendsetter, cutting edge, all a jerk. I love his show. Thank you, Jessica. It's pretty nice, isn't it? Chris? Yeah?
Everyone loves your animal.
It's a compliment. It's a compliment. Okay.
Somebody's
you know what?
Somebody's got their radio on in the background.
I don't hear it. You know what? There's an echo. That's what it is. Maureen, can I ask Maureen a question before we move ahead, Chris?
Yeah. Oh,
Maureen, are you there?
I'm here.
Yeah. What would you do in interviewing that guy yesterday when I was the guest on the show? What, do you think you're a therapist or something? You're trying to make him cry?
I thought it was an interesting topic. Sorry.
Yeah, it's okay. No, I kind of liked it myself. I just was surprised. You know, all of a sudden he's talking to this girl.
Yeah. Well, he was conversing with
us. You know, Maureen has a nice voice. I personally think so. So maybe she's
you're always looking for ways to draw people out and become a good conversationalist.
Yeah, but I don't think I'm Oprah. I don't think I'm Oprah. I'm not going to try to make Chris cry. And I've got some other, you know, irrelevant questions, but I'm going to put them to the side, okay?
Okay.
But one thing, Chris, I got to tell you know Jerry's got an after show? You know about that, Chris? You're not invited, okay?
Yeah.
You're not
okay.
invited. You're not invited. Last week, the Cincy recruiter was on. She stayed through the after show. She scared those guys. I don't want to, you know, the word I'd like to say, she scared them so much that they couldn't give honest answers. They were just too intimidated. Jerry put in a new rule. He doesn't want to announce it himself, I don't think. I'm going to be the bad guy. No guests get into the after show. I don't even listen to myself, to tell you the truth, most of the time. Okay. Are you ready, Chris?
I'm ready.
Yeah, you know,
what's with the echo going on here, man?
That might just be the line, Jerry. I don't know. I can hear it now, too.
No.
Okay, listen, somebody. If you're listening to the show on the phone, you don't have to listen to it on your speaker at the same time like an idiot in stereo. Turn off the speaker. Turn the volume down. Just listen on the phone.
They did.
Or
they've
hang
done
up.
It. It's done.
Okay, good. Chris, are you still there?
I'm here, sir.
Okay, I'm going to ask you the hardest question, I think, right off the bat. You do everything. You're a polymath. You're a guy who can do everything on the recruitosphere. And I'm going to go through a lot of the different things you've done. And the thing I want to start with is jobs in pods. I frankly don't like that title, although it's catchy. I don't think the meaning is there. You create little podcasts. There are four companies that are hiring. So if I'm advertising for a technician of some sort, you'll go and interview somebody who works in the company at the same job so they can tell the world what it's like to work there. And then they post that on their career page. Am I right?
Yes. And it goes on jobsandpods.com and a bunch of
jobs
other –
jobsandpods.com. But no, they can go there as well. Is that it?
Yep.
Jobsinpods.com. Now, Intel is your biggest customer. Am I right? Yes or no?
Yes, sir.
Yeah. Okay, so I listened to one of your podcasts. First of all, you had Krishna D. She's a very good speaker. Krishna D. She's over in England.
Yep.
Okay, I'm going to ask you in a minute how you got to her. But this is for a job in India. And so you got Krishna D interviewing some shy little geek, a woman, a young woman,
yeah.
who works in India, and you can tell she's just reading a prepared script about how great her job is and how great her career advancement potential is. And I'm wondering, mm-hmm. when someone listens to that, is that persuasive? Is that going to make them want to join that company, even though they can see it's obviously a packaged advertisement? It's canned.
Well, occasionally that happens with some of these clients. They will script out the answers, which we don't recommend they do. You know, these things have to be authentic, and we tell them to just, you know, do an impromptu session with us and let it flow from there. But occasionally they some of these people they give us to interview aren't that comfortable on the phone sometimes, so I think that's why they do that at times.
Okay, so I just happened to listen to one that was like that, right? The others aren't that. Is that what you're saying?
Yeah, the vast majority are not like that.
Okay. See, because I was actually wondering, she sounded so meek, I was wondering if HR just showed up at her workstation one day and said, listen, baby, you're going to read this into this microphone, and if you don't, you're out the door, okay? That didn't happen, right?
Yeah, no. Plus, I think, too, it was meant for the India market, so, you know, it's not meant for people in the U.S. to listen to that one. They did
well,
that
what, are Indians different
here.
From us? Are they suckers?
No, they're just, I mean, sure, it's a different culture over there. I've never been there, but
maybe
they don't think the same way you do.
Don't put down
maybe
the Indians.
Maybe they don't think
put
that.
Down
they,
the Indians on this show, okay?
I'm not
they're
putting them down.
Smart. Okay. Okay. Now listen, I got to ask you, though. Did you pick Krishna for that show because she has an Indian name, even though she lives in England?
No, I think she lives in Ireland, actually.
Okay, yeah, you're right. She lives in Ireland, but she doesn't have an Irish accent. She's got an English accent.
Yeah, I think she's from England, maybe. But
well, she's got.
Yeah, no, I had an English shop podcaster who I was using named Sarah Rourke, and she moved on to other things. So I knew Krishna somehow from online social media, and I knew she did some podcasting. So I just brought her on as a part-time podcaster when we did.
Yeah, I was wondering how you got Krishna, although she sounds like a pro.
Yeah, she does podcasts as well. So
yeah, I know
on
she
her
does
own.
Podcasts with John Ingham, right? Okay. So, anybody else got a comment on that about podcasts for career pages? And, you know, aren't they really just like regular – you know what? They might just be like regular advertisements. It's caveat emptor, buyer beware. But, you know, maybe they give you some information. Jerry, you have –
Yeah, I mean, I started those to really give companies a way to, you know, bring their jobs to life and just talk about their jobs rather than just reading a job posting somewhere.
Mm-hmm.
That's really what it's for. You know,
Chris.
Employer branding tool to showcase themselves better.
Okay, now you know what? I was stunned. I was doing a little.
And by the way, those Intel podcasts—they've done about 20 in about 2 years, and they've been downloaded over 60,000 times. So
you get paid by the download?
Nope, I wish I did.
Oh, okay. Okay, so yeah, I'm surprised they have to promote jobs like that in India. Is there such a big demand for people there?
I guess. We've done some in China, too, so.
Oh, really? Okay, so let me move on. I was stunned by something. I did some research on you, and I came upon a video that J.D. Jason Davis, alias Slouch, did of you 2 years ago, I think it was, mm-hmm. at an ERE conference, and you told him that you work, your main job or income, 90% of your income is derived from your company, allcountyjobs.com. It's a series
mm-hmm.
of regional job boards. Now, you told him you work at it 8 hours a week. You work 8 hours a week to make 95% of your income, and the rest is just fooling around on all these other projects you're working on. Is that true? Because
mm-hmm.
I asked someone who owns a job board after that just this morning. He called me just before the show. And
who?
He said, yeah, that's true. I can't tell you.
Then you can't
that's
prove
true.
It.
In fact, today I'd say probably work even less. Probably work an hour a day on the 13 regional sites that make up my my all-county regional.
I got to tell you, that's incredible. I'm jealous. Anybody else want to comment on that? The guy works next to no time at all and makes money. How is he so smart and we're not? Nobody? There's lots of people here. Anybody want to talk to Chris?
Yeah, Chris, tell us how you do it.
I use technology. I outsource basically everything in order to do that.
You outsource to who?
So the company that runs my job boards is Job Target. Props out to the folks in New London there. They basically run the entire back end. They take care all the credit card payments, all the even customer service if I needed to. You can call them and take care of an issue. They run the entire back end, so I just get a check once a month.
I got a question for you. How did you get into the job board business? Because what's your background? You're a marketing
guy, right?
Was
in, marketing, web design. My last official job was a information architect at a design firm called Moda Media in Connecticut.
Yeah, but you didn't take computer science in school. You took marketing in school. I read your book.
Yep. Yeah, I got a BS in marketing. And I got a graduate degree in information systems, too.
Okay, didn't know
that. A little bit of both. Not a programmer, per se, more of a HTML front-end guy. You know, I do my own design, which I picked up over the years. I do my own SEO, my own web marketing.
Yeah, but how did you get in the job board business? Should I say it again?
All right, so in 1999, I was working at a small web design firm, and I was working on a project
small
for
Small web design firm. Look, you can't mumble on this show, okay? I got listeners,
all right.
Not like other shows.
About 11 years ago.
So I was working on a project for a recruiting firm, and the guy wanted to have jobs on his site. So we built him a little interface where he could enter jobs, edit them, and delete them. Pretty simple project. So that kind of got me thinking. And I'd just gone through a job search myself to get that job, and I was frustrated because I was using Monster, I think it was, and they were lumping in all the Fairfield County, Connecticut listings with the New York City listings on the same page. And I was like, look, I just want to work in a certain town in near where I live. And I was kind of frustrated by that experience, the way they were listing jobs like that. So I just also gotten my graduate degree, so like I need to do something. And that kind of got me thinking about the area where I live, Fairfield County, could use its own job board. And that's where I got the idea from. So that summer, I basically coded at night while I was still working full time, and I launched my first job board, FairfolkCountyJobs.com, in September.
Fairfolk,
of,
you know what? Talk louder, will you? FairfolkCountyJobs.com. That's somewhere in Connecticut. That's what you're saying?
Fairfield County Jobs.
I couldn't even hear you myself. Go ahead.
And I had a few friends in HR across the area, so I hit them up first, and they signed on right away. Now, this is all during the dot-com boom, so I had pretty good timing on my side as well. So basically, when I first launched the site, it started to take off pretty much right away. I think a lot of that has to do with the environment we were in. If people were hiring like crazy. They're looking for any kind of tool to use to recruit, and a local one like I created really sort of fit the bill. And, from there, just kind of branched out into other counties in the area. And today it covers, there's 13 sites in the network from New York City to Long Island to Boston and everywhere in between, basically. And that's
yeah, but how did you market? You said I got a question. Kathy Manis has a good question. I don't know if she's on the line. She can ask it herself about Craigslist. Okay, go ahead. Ask your question.
I'm just wondering, Craigslist right now does the same thing, so why would a company pay for your services?
Well, a couple of reasons. We've been around for 11 years, so we're very well known in the area. It's a good
resource. I hear Craigslist is pretty popular as well, though, right?
It is. As a job seeker, I don't think I would know about your board versus Craigslist. I would go to Craigslist first by county.
Right. Well, I mean, I have jobs that Craigslist does not have. So as a job seeker, you'd be missing out on a ton of opportunities, number one. For employers, it's just a good local resource. It's been around for a long time that provides a lot of local value.
It's got a high profile.
How do you advertise to get the local job seeker to check it out?
Yeah.
Well, last year, for example, I did 4 pink slip parties across the area, which was our first time I've actually ever done.
What's a pink slip party? You got to tell. Not everybody knows.
The job
fair party. Pink slip party.
Who wouldn't know what that is, man?
Go ahead, tell us. I've never been to one.
Maybe
the job fair. So I went to some local restaurants in the area, and we set up shop with like 10 or 12 tables for recruiters, and just have everybody mingle. It's a much more informal setting than a typical job fair, which I hate. And have drinks and just talk about jobs and work and stuff. So those are one of the ways that we've done that.
Okay,
I've also done things in the past, like go to local job fairs at colleges and just promote the sites.
Let me take you back. At the beginning, you started this job board no one ever heard of, and you did have competition with the bigger job boards. How did you market yourself to the people in Fairfield County, the businesses in Fairfield County? How did you get people to buy you, to buy in? I mean,
I got some press coverage in papers, and I did local radio ads on some of the stations here. I sponsored the traffic.
Yeah, but what
reports.
Comes first, the chicken or the egg? The job hunters, so you can show people that you've got people clicking on the site that brings in the jobs, or do you get the jobs in for free at first, build a readership that way, and then start charging for the jobs?
I believe I got three companies when I actually launched the site. I had three companies in there, maybe 15, 20 jobs, and I don't remember how I actually. I don't think I did any Google ads back then, so I can't remember how I was advertising. I must have been doing radio ads at that time.
Really, you were calling around to companies and talking to the HR manager and saying, "Look, I've got."
Oh yeah, I was definitely cold calling. I'd go home to lunch.
How do I know if you don't tell me?
Were you
working
more than 1 hour a day back then?
Back then I was, yeah. Mm-hmm. I'd go home at lunch and just do cold calls and then go back
to work. You know, I just got to say something. I want to say something.
I have
to
a question.
Defense. No, wait a sec, Maureen. This Jen Bowen, okay? I like
Jen.
Yeah,
she's got a challenge.
Yeah, she says that you're not running a real business because you've outsourced everything. You're running a smart business. I like the way he does it. Okay, you want to rebut that? I think I did it for you, but if you have something else to say about that, go ahead.
Well, read him her objection.
There's an 800 number on every one of my websites that when you dial that, it goes right to me. So I'm responsible for the sites. I'm running them, even though they're
hiring other people to do the work. What's not running a business? That's a business.
It's an online it's an online business. So it's not a typical recruiting firm
Though you sound like it. You're not just some geek who lives in one room. You've got a wife and child, right?
Sure. Yep.
And a house.
I do. Yep. And a mortgage and all that.
Do you not have wives and children?
The way it sounds like, he's living on his shoestring, it sounds like, right? But that's not really true.
I'm talking to you right now from my basement office. I mean, it's I've been shoestring my entire career with this. So.
Do you have any employees?
No, I don't want any either.
Good.
I'm a one-man business, and I plan
on
staying.
Your question was, how much does it cost to place an ad on one of these sites?
Okay. How much does it cost to place an ad on one of these sites?
Depends. Anywhere from $69 on some of them, some of the smaller ones, to $129 for a 60-day ad.
Okay.
Kathy writes her questions on Twitter like I'm going to see it. That's Maureen's job to see it, and she doesn't watch. Okay. How do you market the candidates? He said he had the radio ads. He had the pink slip parties. Anything else?
Is radio advertising expensive?
No, it wasn't actually.
Not in little nowhereville.
Yeah, you can buy a spot for $100. The traffic spots I was sponsoring were only costing me, I think it was, $35 or $50 each, something like that. So I'd buy like 10 or 12 of those a month, and that
What's
would help.
What's a spot? A one-time?
Yeah, one-time read,
Mm-hmm.
Your wife's not supporting you, is she?
No, she doesn't work anymore. She was, but I let her quit a couple years ago.
Oh, okay, good. Now I got a question. I got it from a real job board owner just before the show. By some coincidence,
right.
I gave you a call. I can't say, but you actually sent out a message to people on your mailing list that you were going to be on this show, and he had just got a request to purchase his site, his job board, and he doesn't know how to price it or, come up with something. You have sold, we're going to get to it, you have sold a number of websites. So is there a way that, let's say someone said on this show, Chris, I want to buy all county jobs. How would you price it? Or even if it was only one of the job boards included in all county jobs, how would you price it? Is there a way? Is there a standard way?
There's no standard way. Every site's different. I'd say to him that if your site makes less than $50,000 a year, it's only been around a few years, you're basically, you can basically maybe get, you know, the money that you're making right now. So a year's worth of revenue, basically, is what I would say to him.
Not like a multiple of four or anything like that.
No, not for a smaller site that's only been around for
a year's worth of revenue, or a year's worth of net?
A year's worth of revenue, maybe.
Gross.
It's got to be worth it for the buyer to buy these things.
The
Dave
Bannister, the Kingfisher VRE, is here. Does he have an opinion on that, how to sell a job board?
He does. Well, you asked about the pricing, not how to sell it. And with the pricing, there's a huge difference between a site that has an established business and you can kind of treat it as an annuity, as in it can reliably generate X dollars per year, and a site that's kind of not really gotten there yet.
This site's well established in its niche, I should say, okay? Mm-hmm. Well established in its niche.
Let's say it's a 6-year-old established site and it's bringing in $250,000 a year. And you said revenue? When I think revenue, I think gross. But when I think net, I think, you know, the money I can take to Kroger's and spend. So.
Well, look,
he's got no expenses.
There's not a whole lot of data on. Hold on, there's not a whole lot of data on selling job boards out there.
No, there isn't. That's why I'm asking.
Let's say
it's doing $250 net. That's what you're taking to Kroger to spend, and it's been around for 6 years. Dave Manister, what is that job board worth?
I am not a banker. I don't know. But what I can tell you is that it does vary dramatically. 2 years ago, it would have been worth a hell of a lot more than it is today.
Right.
The same underlying numbers. And it fluctuates, you know, and probably 2 years from now, it's going to be worth a lot more. So it
was worth more 2 years ago than it is today, but it will be worth more
with the same exact revenue and profit numbers. It was worth more 2 years ago because the market, basically people were willing to pay more because they thought that the good times would roll forever. That's what the assumption, the economy is getting better, obviously is a guess.
So if
the economy gets better, it will be worth more in 2 years.
This might be a good time to interject it. My blog is for sale. JerryTheRecruiter.com.
How much JerryTheRecruiter.com?
Revenue, Jerry.
Rather not get into any numbers or anything.
Oh,
right,
nobody ever wants to get into any numbers. It's the numbers
online
that make this show hum.
Serious offers only, though, please. I can't field all the calls of players.
You got to put the first number out there, Jerry.
Okay, Chris, you still with us? Okay.
I'm
look,
here.
You got the big guy. You know, Maureen used to sell businesses for a living for many years. You're talking to real people here, okay? Real people who can judge.
Real people with wives and children and spouses, or just?
Okay, look.
Question
Brian Wempen, yesterday I told him you were going to be on this show. He's the guy, my competition from Drive-Thru HR, which is on right now. And he said he wanted me to ask you a question. He said job board technology is stale. It needs some big breakthrough, and he suggested that it would be something that puts the applicant in closer contact with the company. And I have to admit, I don't get it. If you know you're having 100 or 1,000 people applying for a job, what are you going to do? Drop everything and talk to them online or something like that? A job board is a job board. I don't see how it can be improved. Although I know, and I'll break for a sec so you can answer, but I have to mention that Eric. EW Monster, he has the Rumsfeld Doctrine of job boarding, which I can get into after if you want to talk about it. But what's the next big breakthrough?
I don't think there is one. I think there's just, you're going to see small incremental changes to the way job boards operate, you know, whether it's integrating more with social media or things like that. But there's no real game-changing technology coming through to job boards in the next 5 years.
Yeah, but there are these job boards now that have social media networks attached to them, right?
Yeah. And
how come job boards don't run like LinkedIn, where they have these different job groupings? They start little discussion clubs for them based around the job boards. There are people trying to do that now. There's a number of them I've run into, right?
Yeah.
Is it a good idea?
The overall process of, you know, putting a job up there and reading a job position and applying, that's not going to change. I mean, there's only really one way to do that, and we're doing it now. So I just don't see a lot of change happening in that space.
Anybody got an opinion? There's a lot of people here. Anybody want to say something?
I have a question, Animal.
Go ahead.
This is Jeremy, Job Search Coach.
Yeah, okay.
And this may have already been asked, but do you see postings up? Are companies adding more jobs quality, not, you know, financial services, that kind of stuff.
Yeah, my boards, I'll give you just some perspective on my boards. On my flagship site, Fairfield County Jobs, the at the height of my being, I guess, back in 2007, the database probably had about 1,500 jobs in it. Today, that went down to about 500 last year, at the end of last year. Today, there's around 700, 750 in there. So,
what do you do to weed out the you know, the quality versus not quality jobs?
Yeah, Jeremy, what's wrong with you?
Have a lot of
sleep. Talk louder so we can hear you. And speed it up, you guys. Put some life in the show. Come
dying.
On. Don't talk like you're half asleep on this show.
It's dying.
I have a lot of repeat clients.
Did you hear what Jerry said? Go ahead.
All right. Well, let me help you out, because Craigslist is such a POS list. What do you do to differentiate between your board and Craigslist? In other words, how do you keep the crappy jobs off?
Good. I like that spirit. Come on, answer the same way.
Yeah, but if they're paying for crappy jobs, do you keep them off if they're willing to pay?
I don't have any crappy jobs in my.
There you go.
But how do you weed those out? How do you keep them off? I mean, are you going through every single job?
Because 80% of my clients are repeat customers who I know and trust. So they, you know, it kind of filters themselves. I mean, and if I do see I get the occasional, you know, stolen credit card posting on there looking for mystery shoppers, and I'll go and delete that.
Okay.
I mean, I do look at the jobs that come on the site. Not every
single
one.
Yeah. Okay. You know what? Fine. You know, there's Nick Livingston. Are you on the air? Or are you just writing on Twitter? Are you here? Okay. Look, he's got a question. I don't know how relevant it is. I'll ask it. But you know. The show's slowing down. This guy's done so many interesting things. Like, you know, we'll get to them if these job boards thing questions aren't interesting anymore. He says, Chris, how did you decide on job board mount versus other platforms, and will you eventually convert your existing boards? I don't know what that means. Can you explain the question first?
Well, there are tons of job board software out there, and I use actually a bunch of different ones for many of my – I run about – 24 different job boards. So I use probably 4 or 5 different software vendors. JobMount is one of them. I use JobTarget. I use Job-O-Matic. I use JobThread. And JobMount. So I experiment a lot with different technologies and play with them. And some are good for different things. Some are good for others. So.
You know what? That's what you call a vague answer.
Vague.
Thanks for nothing, okay? But I'm going to pass over it. Nick, if you want a detailed answer, call the guy. He's available.
Okay.
His number's on the job board. What'd you
we
say?
We still have a challenge coming in from Kathy Manna. She thinks the job boards are obsolete.
Well, yeah,
and Jen Bowen still isn't happy with the
why
answer.
Why are they obsolete? She's on the line. Come on, speak up. Attack
you know what?
The guy.
Anima, I am tired of people saying job boards are obsolete, all right?
Yeah, she's
ridiculous. Fighting words.
She's wrong.
So I'm gonna defend job boards here. Job
Kathy,
boards
are you on the line?
I am. I'm sorry.
Yeah, but she's in another room. Don't worry about her. I can barely hear her.
Oh, now I'm here. I'm here.
Okay,
I'm here.
Chris. Well, he's gonna defend job boards. Go ahead.
Job boards are not going anytime soon. All right. There are many reasons for that. Number one is, at least my clients are small businesses. Small businesses need a place to put their jobs. They're not putting them on their own site. They need an avenue to do that, and they're using job boards today.
That's an interesting point.
Yes.
I disagree.
We are their marketing departments. We are the way they recruit.
Small businesses are underserved in most markets.
Exactly. And if most of the jobs are being created by small businesses, which everyone says is true, you know, they need a place to do that, and we are their solution for that.
And when you think about it, most candidates, they think – I'm going to go to the job board.
Absolutely.
You know, in this entire world of social media networking and all this crap, most people don't have 3 years invested in their Twitch stream and LinkedIn account. If they need a job, they're going to go get on the job board.
Absolutely.
Period.
Exactly.
End of story.
Jerry.
People are trained to do this.
Yeah.
You know,
Jerry?
And they go to Monster, I mean, off the bat anyway. Yeah. Question? Caller?
Kathy,
yeah,
Kevin.
I so disagree.
Okay.
I've been helping out a small business, and we've been using solely LinkedIn and Craigslist.
Yeah.
And I'm also on the job market and
those
looking
are
job for
jobs.
Well, sure they are.
I'm not looking on the job boards. I'm looking, I'm getting my, my job leads through networking. They're not being advertised, these jobs.
Well, you need to do it all. But
I think
people don't naturally think, hey, I need a job. I'm going to go to the job board. See, as long as they're still going there, it would be foolhardy, I rarely use that word, to not post on a job board. I mean, why fight?
Right.
People go to job boards.
Imagine the disparity
as long
in hiring.
As the job board,
go ahead.
As long as the job board has jobs,
yeah.
People are going to go to so.
Well, imagine the disparity in hiring and how slow the process will become if we only network to find a job. Tomorrow, Obama makes all job boards illegal. I put people on 25 of them, and there are so much more. Imagine if they all disappeared tomorrow. Hiring would stop virtually.
Exactly.
Yep.
Chris, let's define small business.
Dave Manister, give Dave a chance.
Define small business.
No,
come
good.
On, Maureen.
Yeah, let's define small business.
No.
I don't think most people really understand what small business is.
Just give us the answer. This isn't a lecture, Maureen. I got an audience. Just tell us, what's a small business?
For me, less than 50 people. That's it.
Okay. And is that the majority of businesses in America?
Yeah.
Okay, fine. Anybody else got a question about job boards? Is there a best way to use a job board? I mean, like, you know, do people write crappy ads? You remember the last time I talked about job boards here? Some guys say, oh, the ads are too long. They're not well written. That makes a huge difference. Chris, is that true from your experience? Who gets satisfaction from your job board?
Job seekers and employers get satisfaction. I mean, I connect them
every
day.
Yeah, okay, but there's company advertiser A and advertiser B. You know, are they getting different results or do they all get the same results? What's the differentiator between good results and bad results? You should know. You've been in it long enough. Don't make me pull it out of you.
A bad result is no resumes to their inbox. That's a bad result. Fortunately, it doesn't happen too much. On my side.
You know, is your wife low-key as well and your kid, or are you the quiet guy and they boss you around?
I am a mild-mannered job boarder.
I have a question. In your database, if you have an engineer, okay, that's like a process engineer as opposed to, you know, an IT, or an architect, okay, that's buildings as opposed to IT, how do you differentiate and keep architects of buildings and designers from getting IT postings and correspondence?
Well, I mean, mostly it is basically determined by the job board software search engine on there. How
are you able to do that?
Well, you can categorize the job according to, you know, a couple different fields and things like that. One of the mistakes I see recruiters making a lot, though, is just not putting enough information on there, especially small businesses, because it's not an HR person posting it. So it might be the owner posting a job, and they're still going by that whole print classified mentality, and they just put five lines in there.
Yeah.
You know, the job title, I think, is the single most important aspect of a job posting, because it tells you the most about the job. So rather than just, as an example, let's say you post a job for a regional sales manager. Well, what industry is that in? Where is that job located? Tell the user that inside the job title, such as if, let's say, it was for a solar company, put solar, a regional sales manager for solar company in Phoenix, for example.
Do you provide your clients with like a best practices type thing, or, you know, this is what I suggest to improve the quality of the posting?
Yeah, I do educate them through a newsletter each month, and I'll go in there and occasionally I'll get a call saying, hey, this job isn't pulling well. Can you take a look at it? What's wrong with it? And I'll go in there and I'll change it and make recommendations based on my knowledge of that stuff.
Customer.
Okay, so that's the big revelation for today so far. People write lousy job orders, but it's not just recruiters. You're saying really it's owners of companies who don't know anything about recruiting and don't know anything about writing, and they're just ignorant, right?
Salespeople when they're putting it together. A salesperson would put together a list of reasons why someone should be compelled to either reply, respond, call in.
Yeah.
If a non-salesperson
is... You know what? It took me 40 minutes to get to that revelation. So I think we've talked enough about the job boards for a while. Everybody agree, or does anybody have another question about job boards? 10, 9, 8, 7. We're moving on. Now, John, he's had a number of blogs. Chris, he owned Recruiting Fly. Now, Chris, you've never been a recruiter, have you? Yes or no?
No, I mean, I've my few jobs I had in the past, I did a thing, but I'm not a recruiter, no.
No. Okay. So, but you started a blog called Recruiting Fly. Why?
Why? I don't know. Everybody was starting blogs back then, so that was my contribution to the
But why Recruiting Fly? Well, you didn't know anything about recruiting, did you?
Well, I knew a bit about how to recruit online, and that's what I wrote about mostly.
Okay.
I created a document for SEO for recruiters in terms of how to keep their sites search engine friendly and things like that. So.
Okay. So you had the blog Recruiting Fly, and then you started going to ERE and other conferences. Dave Manister, big boss of ERE, the Kingfish, he's here. You started going there and interviewing people on video and posting it online, right?
Right.
Were you the first to do that?
I don't know. Maybe Chisa did some of that too before.
Okay, but you were in there early. What was your logic?
Early,
what were you appealing to? Was this just one of the fun things that you like to do? Why were you doing it?
I think I was doing it to promote myself or promote something I was working on, whether it's Jobs and Pods or stuff like that.
Okay, well, you know what? Yeah. I mean, like, I know who you are because of that. That's,
I'm less about advertising my stuff and more about adding content and then bringing attention to my...
Okay, and you eventually sold Recruiting Fly, though, to Cheesehead, right?
Yep.
For
how
much? If
It wasn't that much. It's only a few grand, probably.
I just went to Recruiting Fly and got attacked by a Trojan.
Uh-oh.
Did you?
I tried it twice.
What did Cheesehead do with it?
Oh, my.
He was using it for just some of the SEO stuff, SEO marketing.
Yeah, he was
buying it.
That's irrelevant. Let's move on. Okay, so you sold it, but that wasn't your strategy. I'm going to build this site and sell it. You fooled around with it just to keep your profile high, and then you sold it for a few $1,000 just to get rid of it, right?
Yeah.
Okay. And then you had Secrets of the Job Hunt. What was the idea there?
That was actually I wrote an ebook, I don't know, 5-6 years ago about job hunting.
No, it wasn't an ebook. I bought it. It's a slim little regular volume, right?
Yeah, I know. But at first it was an ebook, and then I turned it into an actual book, which I wrote, and it's available on Amazon. And it's just my experience with job hunting since I graduated college and what I've learned up to that point as far as job hunting online and things like that. So I put all that stuff down in a book and just got it out there to help job seekers. And that kind of turned into a blog and a podcast and the site that you see now.
What do you mean it kind of turned into it? I don't know. What does that mean, it kind of turned into it?
Did
it
morphed,
grow on
its
own? Why did you do it? Come on.
Because I had a lot of information on job hunting that I wanted to get off my chest.
Why did you want to get it out there? Why?
He wanted
to
get
it
off
back
his
to your
chest.
Site?
People
Why do
people
write
people?
Books, Animal? They do it because they have knowledge, and they want to share that knowledge.
Did you make money on it?
No,
I made no money. I didn't write it to make money.
But you sold
Nobody
it in the end, right? You
money.
Sold it. You sold it, right?
Did you write it to feel better?
No, he sold. Thanks,
I sold
Oprah.
What?
Can I interject real quick?
Yeah.
Just another little point?
Yeah.
I'm looking for a ghost writer to help me tell my story. If anybody's listening, give me a call. Okay.
Okay. Yeah.
I thought you were selling the site.
No, that's my blog. That's for sale. But I'm looking to put together my entire story.
Okay.
You said that before. Are you serious about that?
Yeah.
Okay.
My life is amazing. People would like to read it.
Yeah. Okay. Chris. So you got the secrets of the job hunt, right? You weren't putting any time into your main job. So you had all this time. So you just said, "Hey, I'm going to write the job hunting blogs as a pastime." Is that it? And then you sold it.
Yeah, I mean,
who'd you sell that to? To Cheesehead as well?
Wait, what site?
Secrets of the Job Hunt. Remember that one?
I still own it, Animal.
I
did sell the. It was a Blogspot blog, which I sold.
Can anybody that's listening go to Recruiting Fly right now and tell me if it's just me? I've gone there three times.
Oh, come on, let's move on. And then you started
I'm
job
I'm not asking
quarters.
Anybody. Do
okay,
I need to tweet it or can I ask it on the show?
Were you the first guy Maureen? To pick up on – were you the first guy to pick up on recruiting blogs and see that Ning was a decent platform and then create job boarders? I think you were the second network, right?
Yeah, I was one of the first guys. I mean, I love Ning. It's a great platform to create a community site on. And,
right, and then you sold job boarders as well, right?
Yeah, I launched job boarders, I don't know, in 2007, I think it was. And
how do you sell these things? I mean, do you contact people and ask them to buy, or do people contact you?
You sold it to Jason.
Well, in the case of job boarders, I mean, Jason had approached me, I think, around when I first launched it, and he wanted to buy it. So I knew that he did, and eventually I went to him and said, look, if you want it, it's
like
yours.
So. I'm surprised he's never got in touch with me on my blog.
Okay, now you got Job FM.
For the record,
well,
he already
too,
actually owns
too.
Most of job boarders now.
Pardon me?
For the record, he already actually owns
yeah,
most
I thought,
of job
yeah,
boarders.
Yeah, you were partners with Jason on it, right? Okay.
We are, yes.
Okay, fine. Sorry about that, Dave.
Okay.
So he's selling his boards, just Maureen, just to people he knows in the community. Like, they could all be guys on this show, okay? One of them is.
Okay.
He sold it to Dave and Jason. Okay, now you also got job.fm. Are you still there, Chris? Are you with me?
It's jobradio.fm.
Jobradio.fm. Okay, and what that is, that's a site that puts together a bunch of different radio shows about job hunting. Am I right?
Yeah, it's a live internet radio station that replays different podcasts.
How can it be live if it replays stuff? It's not live.
Well, you can tune in right now and hear something, so it's live.
Okay.
But all the shows are past recorded, you know.
Okay, so you've got Total Picture Radio, Your Own Secret of the Job Hunt, Savvy Job Seeker, I didn't know that one, Career Sex Success Radio, I call into that show sometimes, they're in Australia.
Yeah, I've heard you on there.
Job Stalker, I didn't know that one, Tales from the Job Search Trenches by Michael Sirkan. He's a guest who didn't show up for this show, by the way, a job hunter.
Right.
Jobs in Pods, he booked and didn't show. Jobs in Pods, that's yours.
Yep.
Career Czar, mm-hmm. I didn't know about that. And Dream Job Radio, Stephanie Lloyd, Steffalo, who was a guest on this show as well. Okay, so we're
yep.
you know we're getting near the end. You've also got something called Green Job Spider. Does this guy create more projects than anybody else? Yes, he does, right?
I'm the hardest working man in job board business.
Okay, what's Green Job Spider?
It's my first aggregator site, actually. It's a green job
site. What's an aggregator site? What's an aggregator site? It's an RSS feed or puts all the...
It's like Indeed.com, except for...
Oh, a vertical search engine. It scrapes all... It gathers up all the green jobs from the Internet and dumps them into one place. Is that right?
That's correct.
Okay. Correct. How did you decide to do that?
Well, last year I started some other green job boards for solar, wind, biofuels, and I just saw it as a niche to get into. And doing the research I did, there was like 50 different green job boards out there.
Can I stop you for
a
second? Can I stop you for a second? Resume strategy, and she's always on me, this girl. I don't know what's with her. She says, mellow guest is giving animal apoplexy. It's true. I got a show. I got to keep my show interesting. It can't put people to sleep.
Okay, look at Shane Bowen's remark right before hers.
Company name,
that?
Microsoft, for instance, unpopular job type, location, and so on have a huge impact on how a listing performs on job boards. Company name, yeah, okay. Well, is that a revelation, Maureen? You couldn't figure that out yourself?
He's making a statement. Does Chris agree with that?
No, he's not asking about
answer.
Chris. He's just commenting, okay?
He's commenting. He's
sort of like Monster does. You know, I mean, it's a brand name. You know, it has a certain cachet.
Hey, can I just jump in with a confirmation here then?
Yeah, go ahead.
Hey, man, it's a public service announcement.
Go ahead.
Recruiter Fly is attacking people with a virus, man.
Yeah, okay. You know what? No one would be going there if you weren't telling them to.
You
so
mentioned
really
it on the
matter.
Show. I check it out. I follow up on stuff, man. Don't.
Gosh.
Chris,
you have checkers, animal.
Okay, does anyone have like good general questions for Chris? Like, well, Chris, what do you want to talk about that we haven't covered?
Where's all the job boarders? I sent out the blast email. Jason did.
They're
you
dweebs.
Have a job board question?
Job boarders are dweebs who don't want to deal with people. They want to work like 10 hours a week as shut-ins.
Well, here's what I want to know. What do you do the rest of the waking hours? You work 1 hour a day.
Look at all the stuff he does.
Well, I just want to know.
Right now, like today I did two podcasts this morning. I did a Jobs and Pods with Stanford Hospital. So I recorded that, and I also did a podcast for Secrets of the Job Hunt, which is going to air.
Okay, so you're working.
Yeah, but he's not making money from those other things.
Oh, well, it all goes together, don't you think, Chris?
No.
Yeah, I make money in
stop
most
answering
of that.
For him. Chris, it
paid,
all goes together?
I get paid for every job cast I do on Jobs and Pods, so that's making money.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. What do you want to talk about now? You got 10 minutes.
I don't know. You want to deconstruct the job board?
You know, no, okay, yeah, let's deconstruct it. But didn't you tell me once, you know, I contacted you because you contacted me first a few months ago. You said, I'd like to be a guest, okay? And you said, I've got some big news. I'm waiting. This is your chance. Tell us, you know, some revelation. Tell us
big
something
news.
Exciting. I knew you were mild-mannered, but I thought you had the drive to just put it across. What's your message, Chris? What do you want to tell us?
I don't remember what the big news was back then, but that was 6 months ago, but I do job work consulting. One of the things I've been working with is it seems like I have a couple of clients who are recruiting firms who launched their own job boards, so we should talk about that animal. I think there's a couple of good reasons why recruiters should have their own job board for whatever industry or niche they serve. I think the reasons would be to, A, source candidates. It's a good way of collecting those resumes and building a candidate pool. It's pretty cheap. I think you could bring in additional sources of revenue if you want to offer job postings, advertisements on there. And I think, 3, it's just a good way of promoting your own firm within the industry that you have. So I would definitely encourage recruiting firms out there to...
Aren't you competing with yourself if you own a job board, if you're
a recruiter?
I don't
think so.
What do you mean you're not?
So.
You don't think so?
One way you can do it is to do it anonymously. You don't have to actually promote yourself as it, and just use it to collect resumes and source candidates and stuff. So, I'd be curious as to what some of the recruiters on the phone think.
Okay, any recruiters here? Okay, deconstruct a job board. Forget it. Deconstruct a job board. Tell us, what did you even mean by that? I don't know.
All right, so one of the things I do is I go to job boards and I will critique them.
You know
them.
What? I don't want to say crucified because I was talking about profits at the beginning of the show, but I'm getting some problems. Pick it up, will you? Deconstruct that job board now.
All right, let's talk about BAJobs.com, which is Bay Area Jobs. So go to BAJobs.com.
B-A?
No,
B-A as in Bob?
B-A as in boy. Yep.
Okay,
bajobs.com.
Bajobs,
yeah. Bajobs.
Okay.
All right, so if you look at that homepage there, I've got a few problems with this homepage, the way it looks. First of all, it's rather compacted and tight.
Tiny.
All the text seems to...
Talk into the phone, close to the phone. Put your mouth close to the phone, okay?
There's a big white space in there. There is no keyword text that describes the region it's in. So this homepage is not very search engine friendly. There's no actual words on here where it says Bay Area Jobs, and that's a no-no as far as SEO goes.
Yeah.
What do they call it? Copy and paste. Do you go someplace to pull
cookie
this?
Cookie cutter.
A cookie cutter. Is this a cookie cutter site?
I would say that. I mean, it's just the way they designed it. I don't recognize this particular design, if that's what you're asking.
Oh, this isn't yours.
No, this is not mine.
Okay.
It's a site out in California, so it's a
regional
site. So
there are cookie cutter sites that you could build job boards on.
We're going to blast these people?
I mean, every time you get a job target site or a job mount site, it essentially works the same way across any site they power, so... I don't know who powers these guys. It looks like it's more of a homegrown site. But it's got some problems on the homepage. There's no keyword text. It should say Bay Area Jobs in at least 3 places on there in actual text. It's got a header, a banner ad on there which repeats the logo, which is sort of weird looking. There's no strong call out to employers to post a job. I always say that a job board homepage should have a strong call to action for employers to go and post a job. That's
what's
how you make
that?
Money. With
what's that? Board. What's that call to action for employers? I'm going to tell you what impresses me. They've got a bunch of people advertising there.
They do.
Stanford
that's
University, Genentech, Bio-Rad.
Those are employers.
That's one of the good things they do. They have the logos on the homepage there, which shows you they have credible employers, which is a good thing.
What would be a good call to action?
You know, employers, I want to see in big text in a clearly marked area for employers, tell them immediately when they come to the website, how do I go and post that? How much does it cost? So give them nice big bold letters, post a job here for employers.
But a call to action, does that include an encouragement to post? You know, are you losing money every day because you have open job positions, something like that?
That's good, Maureen. I like it. Congratulations.
I'm just wondering.
The only way job board makes money is by employers, and you have to give them an easy way to do that. So tell them immediately when you get to the website.
You've
got to
ask them a painful question, too, sometimes to get them to act.
Okay, we're going to run through the. I haven't done this for a while, you know, but I'm going to try anything today. We're going to run through the people who are here and see if they want to ask any questions.
Have you mentioned any
something.
Of your sponsors or anything?
My sponsors? Okay. Area code 858. That's Kathy. She's spoken a number of times, right? Kathy, you're satisfied, right? Yeah.
I am, except Stanford Medical Center was one of my accounts, and I can't see where I would even go to this job board that he's talking about in Northern California.
Yeah, well, so they managed to get clients. Congratulations.
So Stanford University, is that the same thing?
Area code, thank you, Maureen. Area code 718. If you want to say hi to Chris and ask him a question or make a statement or something like that, 718.
That's Steve Manister. Chris, have you seen? I'm sure you saw like the money go away in the last like year and a half. Have you seen any changes in the last few months?
Yeah, I mean the trend is up. My sales are up about 20% for the year, I'd say. So I'm pretty bullish on the rest of the year. In fact,
last
month actually
last year?
My sales were up 50% last year.
50% last year. Were they off in 08?
Yep. They were down in 08, but not nearly as bad as 09.
But they were down in 08 and off 50% in 09, but they're up this year.
Yeah. So last month was my best month in 2 years.
Oh, good. Okay.
Mm-hmm. Well, he can move into a trailer camp if he's got a problem. I think they probably have internet connections there, too. Okay, area code 646, another New York number. Do you have anything to say to Chris? No. Okay, area code 512. Do you want to talk to Chris? Say hi, ask a question.
Hey, I did have a question. Is it bad etiquette just to call in for the after show in the future?
Don't insult my guest. This is a smart guy.
For all you detractors, I think this was an interesting show.
He's a reticent person. For some reason, I just haven't hit the magic button to get him to spill his guts like Maureen tries to and get him to share all his wisdom.
I answered all the questions.
You did answer all the questions, but I didn't ask all the right questions.
I'm going to be a guest, Jägermeister.
Okay. Area code 609, do you want to say hi to Chris and ask him a question? No. Okay. Okay, 678, Georgia. Got a question for Chris.
Just listening.
Okay, nice to meet you. Okay, well, you know, Chris, give us some words of wisdom for recruiters before I let you go. Is there one hot tip you would give a recruiter? It can be about job boards or blogs or video. You know, how should they, you know, is Jerry right that social media is a waste of time for recruiters? You know, do you see recruiters profiting? You've been around for a number of years.
As far as social media goes, I'm not, I've been experimenting with that a lot with my job boards. And to be honest with you, I'm a little more down on them now than I was, say, 6 months ago. For me, it seems like people on Twitter have changed a bit in the last few months. I don't know. It's just not as retweeting as much, and it doesn't seem to be as much worth the time for me to do now than it was, say, 6 months ago. I'm not sure why, but I don't know. Jury's still out for me on social media as far as that goes.
Really, isn't that interesting? You got some big hitters here who say that social media is not really good for recruiting, right? That's what you're saying.
Yeah, I mean, it, you know, you can have a fan book on Facebook or whatever, a fan page on Facebook, But in the end, people go to Facebook to do personal things, I think.
Yep.
Do you have a fan page? Do you have a fan page on Facebook?
And that's another reason. Yeah, I do. Yep.
And does it do anything for you? Does it do anything for you?
I have a fan page for my Fairfield County job site, and I tell you, it gets little to no traffic. Even though I try and put some unique content on there on a weekly basis, it just doesn't do anything, really.
Look, all the dynamic stuff comes out, just like in a psychiatric session in the last 2 minutes. I mean,
I'm about to tweet this, but what do you think about having a show where people come to showcase the recruiting-related businesses they'd like to sell? Like somebody just said they want to hear more about Jerry's blog that he wants to sell.
That's a joke.
I mean, we could give everybody like 5 minutes.
You got a tin ear. You got a tin ear.
That
was
a joke, dude. It is not a joke. It's for sale.
Yeah.
Okay.
Right.
How can I be more serious?
No, seriously,
about?
It would be interesting. Everybody get like 5 minutes, and they could, you know, showcase the thing that they want to sell.
You know what? When
but they have to give a price. They have to give a price.
You can tell I'm serious, can't you?
Yeah. Okay. You know, usually I go to Dave Master when I need a level-headed opinion, but I'm just going to dismiss this one, okay? Chris, your final words. Your final words. Go ahead.
Let me just say that, Jerry, if you're a job board listening to this and you hear about a recruiting blog that wants to be sold, that's a great opportunity for SEO for your board. So
what
if
do you
I
mean
were you,
by
I'd
that?
Go
tell
buy,
us before you go away. Come on, tell us. What do you
go
mean
buy
by
Jerry's,
that?
Go buy Jerry's for SEO for your own marketing.
What do you mean? What do you mean by it's good? How's it good? Can you use his blog to point to your job board?
Yeah, you can write articles on there that point back to your site with your keywords.
Yeah, but his site doesn't have great Google ranking. What's it going to do for you?
How do you know
it's
that?
It's got some ranking, right? I would think it does, you know. How long have you been online, Jerry?
About a year.
About a year, okay. I mean, it's not that great, but
the
older site is the better.
Months. Okay.
Yeah, it's still worthy of some kind of price, though. So.
Chris Russell, thank you!
Thanks, Chris.
See you guys.
Here we are. Wake up, everybody.
I don't think that's important. True. I thought that was a good show.
Oh, I just woke up. Thanks, Jerry.
We know you're going to give it a couple of tens, Maureen. So I believe you've been banned from giving Animal a 10.
Oh, you put that into motion?
Yeah, it's kind of, it's, yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Is everybody okay? You all right?
What? Huh? What?
Job board? Water. I need a sink here in my office.
Hey, Jerry, wouldn't you like to have 5-10 minutes to showcase some product that you want to sell, like your blog?
Sounds like another radio show. Get on it.
Yeah, get on it.
Jerry,
on
wouldn't
it
you like to do that?
No.
Wouldn't you like to do that?
No. Too much
no
work.
Who's saying
you know,
no?
I just see all these people buying blogs and stuff, and I'm just like, hey, man.
You know, it'd be like those late night television shows, you know, buying like the carrot juicer or whatever. You could just have a radio
there
you
know,
blog show. That's
there.
All it is, 24 hours a day, stuff for sale on the internet.
Yeah.
Man, Jerry, you and I need to talk.
We do.
Let's just
you
start
grew,
selling
I want
stuff
a piece
on the
of the
internet.
Action, you guys. It was my
all right, we'll give you 1% for spurring us on.
I tell you, I've spent the last 3 days trying to put together a demo for verbal summary.
Yeah.
It is a lot more work than I would have thought.
Oh,
are
yeah.
Are you fed up? Do you want to sell verbal summary?
No, I want people to use it and subscribe to it.
No, but, yeah. Jerry, the correct answer is for the right price.
There you go.
Yeah,
everything
mean,
is for sale. That's why your blog's for sale, man, right?
Everything
how much?
My children.
How much?
Except your children, is that what you said?
You got to put that number out there. You got to be the first one to put the number out there.
No, he doesn't.
People to
no,
nibble
no,
around.
No, he doesn't.
Maureen, you know that.
It's all in the value of what they first, you know, with
that'd
the,
be a
with the buyer.
Do you guys watch that show? What's it called? American Pickers. They go around and they, you know, get stuff out of garages.
That's pretty cool. I like that.
That's
show.
A cool show. He never gives a first price. He believes. No, he never gives a first price. He wants the seller to give a price. And I think that's good, makes good sense.
If you can get it, yeah.
Most
yeah,
buyers.
If you can get it. Hey, so let's see, who's still here? Manister, are you still with us?
Two of us.
I'm still here.
All right, man. You always hang in there. We're glad to have your support. Kathy sent me her scores. Maureen, Blake, are you still there?
I am.
All right. Jeremy?
Me.
Jerry Jeff?
I'm going to surprise you today.
Jerry
with
Jeff,
my
Jerry,
score
yeah.
on
Jerry
animal.
Who
I'm
else?
I'm going to surprise you today.
Who else is listening? Come on, somebody. Liven up here.
Have Rose here.
Chris.
In the house.
In the house. You going to any social recruiting summits or anything this week?
No. I have work to do.
I have work to do.
Mm-hmm.
Big.
I'm busy social recruiting on my phone.
People are bummed out with me for tweeting to check out RecruiterFly.
Yeah, thanks, man.
Well,
I'm glad he
put the warning out there, Trojan. I was like, all right, I guess I don't need to go over there now. I want no part of that. That was a public service announcement.
Now, frankly, I would think a guy that's got a lot of job boards and blogs and different stuff would run a little tighter ship on that.
But he gave that one was sold off, right? He doesn't go check on.
I don't know whose it is. Whose is it?
It's not his, though.
Cheeseheads.
Yeah, it's not his, so he doesn't have to check anything.
Well, who does own that? It's kind
of
like your neighbors letting their dog run wild. Who is responsible for this animal?
Yeah, BP, step up.
It's the dog's owner, yeah.
Okay, so Chris Avril is here. Who else is with us today? Anybody?
That's
come on.
It. Wow. Quiet.
Man, Animal is losing listeners to his show, and that's affecting my after show.
That's a problem. Because this after show is for sale.
Yeah, hell yeah. And you get a blog with it, man.
Yeah, free blog. We'll throw in the blog.
Jerry,
we got a lot of work to do, Jerry. We got to start writing things down. A
lot of stuff.
Yeah, I got to write it all down.
Let's start with your scores then, Jerry Jeff. What do you got?
Wow. You know, I wasn't paying attention to most of the show, but from the dead air and the lack of enthusiasm, I'd have to give the host a 5. And the guest, you know, maybe a 6. I don't think it's the guest's fault. I mean, he's talking about what he knows, and that's the topic that was chosen. And we just didn't tie it into – I didn't learn much today. I like learning on this show, and I just didn't – I based my score always on how much I learned, and I'm sorry.
So you're saying that is a 6 then for the guest and a 5 for the host.
Yeah.
I'm not sure if the host really had anywhere to go with it.
And that's why it took 6 months to get him on the show, I think. He might have been a B-lister, and, you know, I threw him in there into the gap.
Though he seems like a real nice guy and knowledgeable.
Very nice guy. It has no bearing on him. I give him a 10 for being a nice guy. How's that?
Yeah.
10 on the nice guy scale.
Okay. We don't track
that.
Yeah,
we don't have that.
That can only weigh into your personal decision to give your one score.
We don't want bias. We really don't want bias.
Yeah.
And these numbers, very scientific.
Chris Havrilla, can you share with us your number for the guest? And
what?
Who's laughing and why? Maureen.
I'm laughing.
I was just saying, that sounded like Maureen.
Yeah. I'm laughing.
I will give the guest a 6. Actually, you know, I follow him, and I think a lot of what he's doing. It would have been nice to kind of hear the passion about his work. That would have been good. And then I'll give Animal a 6 too. I don't know this kinder, gentler animal. I don't know. I don't know where he was when I was on the show, but
yeah.
But it did. I just thought it lacked the show lacked energy more than anything. But.
Okay. So what's the number for Animal then? Did you say
6?
Okay, a pair of 6s. Jeremy, are you still with us? He's a busy guy. He's got time for the show, and then he leaves. I'll just make up a score for him. Oops. Did I say that out loud? Did you guys hear that? Blake.
Yes, sir.
What are your scores?
So, if I'm being honest, that really hurt. I'm going to have to give that guy, I don't know him, so I'm being nice here, but probably like a 2.
Okay.
And I'm going to actually throw the animal an 8 because, I mean, he tried to get the guy to liven up, you know. I mean, he was kind of handicapped with what he had.
Okay.
That's my thought.
I don't know. But He knew who he was. Animal knew who the guest was coming on. So you also have
I agree.
To put the weight of that responsibility on Animal.
Damn right.
I think obviously the guy was perpetrating a fraud, you know, and showed himself to be something that he really wasn't.
No, but Animal does a lot of research. Animal does a lot of research. He knows exactly what he's getting.
Who is perpetrating a fraud now?
Yeah, I need to stricken that from the. There was no fraud here. Nobody's been harmed or wronged.
I'm just baffled by that. What are you talking about?
I think he's just throwing that out there. I have no idea.
No, actually, I mean, there was several times that Animal said, you know, I thought you said you were going to talk about this, and there was some great idea and everything, and he didn't have a great idea. You know, he said, oh, well, that must have been
okay. Manister, I think that's a reasonable answer.
Fraud sounds like a strong word. Not really. Fraud's a pretty strong word to me, but, I mean, maybe Animal is expecting more.
Oversold.
Maybe. But I feel like he says that to every guest. Is that just me?
No, I mean, he said that the guy that Chris had some groundbreaking news or a big revelation, or big news.
Yeah.
And but there just was none. But you know,
I didn't hear any big news either. So I guess I'll agree with that.
That's kind of indicative of how the show went. I mean, I think he was expecting more, and there was just kind of not. Well, how exciting can job boards be? And I don't expect
that's the point.
Yeah, I don't expect Chris to have some big dynamic. You know, the guy's not a recruiter; he's a job board guy, and he found a way to get in.
And if you want to learn all about job boards, please tune in. But if you don't,
right.
Sorry.
I mean, we could have a librarian on here that really knows their stuff, but how pumped up are you going to be?
Hey, you know, we had a legal guy on there, like, what, a year ago almost, and I thought that was very interesting. That could have gone south. I mean, he talked about stuff that recruiters needed to know.
What was that guy's name?
I don't remember. It's I'm sure it's in Animal's records there
mm-hmm.
on his website. But, you know, my point is you can make stuff interesting, and Animal did say, oh, there's other stuff we can talk about other than job boards, and we never got to it. At least, not that I caught.
Yeah.
And this is something I feel like Animal needs to work on in general. I mean, with all due respect to Chris, who's a great entrepreneur and an awesome hustler, you know, he's kind of small fry in the job board world. I mean, you get someone that's like someone from Indeed or someone from Craigslist, someone from even Monster. They're going to tell you a lot more, you know, some interesting things that they're working on the back end.
So it might be more insightful, more so than a job board place that we don't really know. We've never seen their site, and we're not wondering how it works or any of that.
There are interesting technologies that are going on, interesting experiments that are going on in the business.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and Chris, and again, I have a lot of respect for Chris.
The person you have called is unavailable right now.
Wow.
Please try again later.
How's that even happen?
La persona que usted ha llamado no está disponible en este momento.
Come on, people.
Intente de nuevo más tarde.
Message 2.
How did that even happen, Jerry?
1-6-3.
I don't know.
That's
the person you have called
is
unavailable right now.
You ever
get one of those messages on your
right
answering
now.
Machine, though?
Please try
like
again
this.
Later.
La persona que
try
and
call somebody on your
está
other line.
En este momento.
Okay,
I'd be curious.
Score real quick. Nobody talk
message
over me, please,
two.
Maureen.
Switch.
Manister, what are
one,
your scores then?
1-6-3.
I'll give Michael a 7 for keeping things going, and I actually thought the guest was kind of interesting. My expectations weren't high, that terribly high, and I wasn't disappointed unlike some of you guys. So I'll give him a 7 as well.
And that's kind of a field that you're a little more knowledgeable and interested in than say a regular recruiter or you know a job search coach.
That's fair.
Okay. And I already have Kathy's scores. Maureen, give us a real score.
Okay, I'm going to give Animal
some
7.
Credibility.
I'm going to give him a 7 because I want to teach him a lesson. He's got to stop answering for people.
Goodness.
And I like the guest. I'm going to give him an 8.
Okay.
Lord.
Out of all the scores, I think that 7 from you is going to hurt. Bad.
It's going to hurt.
I gave
Why
pretty low scores.
No, Animal, I mean, he expects you're one of the shills on the show for him, and even you're punching him in the face here.
Well, you told me you were going to take away my 10.
I didn't
want
to scare you into a fake score other than
it's not a fake score. I was going to surprise you. I told you that early in the show.
Okay, all right.
I want him to stop answering for people.
here are my scores. I'll give the guest a 6.
Mm-hmm.
I think he could have found a way. I mean, being a job board guy on a show with recruiters, I would have sold my product more.
Mm-hmm.
I would have thought that there'd be a way to at least leave us all thinking, hey, if I'm ever hiring anybody in Fulton County or wherever that is, I don't even remember where it is, I'm going to look that place up.
Well, that they did segue into that very briefly. They talked about how he consults on building job boards for recruiters who want to put a job board on their website.
Mm-hmm.
So, I mean, the golden egg was right there.
Animal a 6.
See, I was even tougher than you, Jerry.
Is Animal at the end of his potential guest list or anything? I mean,
I'm not at liberty to say.
That's ridiculous.
I'm not at liberty to say, Jerry, but I do have insider information on it.
I think a lot of people are afraid to come on this show.
And, Manister, let me kind of rephrase that. Chris Russell seems like a nice guy. I'm just wondering, is that the kind of topic for a recruiting show? And it is the recruiting animal show.
Maybe we need a new tranche of topics that he needs to go after with new kinds of guests. I don't know what they are.
What would be your? Anybody have any ideas?
No.
Well, I mean, we talk about social media, we talk about job boards, we talk about recruiting, on and on and on. But I mean,
have you ever
are we a one-dimensional?
Hmm? Hold on, somebody's asking. Was that you, Manister?
Yeah, that was me. Has he ever had Dave Perry on the show?
I don't think he has.
That'd be cool.
I think he should.
Yeah, that'd be fun.
Maybe he needs to line up a different format. Maybe we need to have like a debate. Remember when we had a few debates last year with Mike and I guess Jerry, you were doing it, you know, and maybe even
that was the case.
Gorman.
Gorman and
I mean, maybe there'd be a point counterpoint. Maybe we need to take a controversial issue in recruiting once in a while, once a month, and
what
like
would that
have
be?
A debate.
What would a controversial issue?
Oh, come on, just think about
be?
It for a little while. I mean, it could be.
A controversial issue, and every once in a while, I run into it.
What is it?
It's recruiters. Many, I don't, have two different policies that they use to, I guess, enforce the fact that a company owes them a fee. There's the one where, for some reason, it's just accepted whoever sends the resume in first gets the fee, even if it's
mm-hmm.
9 months later.
Mm-hmm.
And then there's the other, which is, I believe, the more practical law that they teach at NAPS conferences, which is the but for my efforts clause, which is, hey, yeah, you may have had his resume somewhere, but I'm the one that 3 weeks ago caused the interest, that caused the interview, that got this whole thing moving.
Yeah.
However, when if I'm the recruiter that gets the send-out going, and there's another recruiter that sent that person in there, say, 4 months ago, and nothing happened, either they didn't
mm-hmm.
follow up or whatever, that's the recruiter saying, hey, it's a one-year policy. We all know that. And
right.
I sent a man within the last year, so you owe me the fee. That same recruiter, the next time they run into a resume that was there 4 months earlier, but they're making the send out, they're going to say, hey, I'm the one generating the interest. You owe me the fee. Recruiters are doing that all the time. I don't. I think it's ridiculous. My
another one like that
is
similar, is that a company might have a resume in their database from somebody who they may or may not have talked to 8 months ago, and you get that person to come in for the interview. Would they have ever gotten that person on their own, even though it's in their database? I mean, you send it, oh, we have this person in our database, so we can't pay you. It's like, well, did you get this person to come in for an interview? Did you call them? Did you even know it was in the database? Did you even search your database?
Right.
That's an interesting topic.
But it's not too controversial, is it, really? Because the answer, all the recruiters are going to answer it the same way. Yeah, we should have gotten paid. Although, I guess yours is a little more controversial than mine. Mine's obvious.
There's a couple topics out there that we need to check into.
I'm sure there's plenty of controversial ones. I mean, what about posting a job that doesn't really exist? Like a job board.
What's wrong with
is that accepted practice? Is that not accepted? You know, is that tick people? Do you get into trouble doing that? Is that okay? Is it not okay? What if it's a job you've placed for in the past and it's filled, but you know you're going to get it again in 3 months? Do you leave it open? And then you have people calling, is this real or not? And you're like, well.
Yeah, I don't post jobs, but what's the problem with that?
Well, the candidates will get ticked off and they'll say, this isn't a real job then. You don't post
jobs. Isn't the key in how you follow up with them?
I think the skill set is, but I mean, hey, we don't want to use up the topic. I think it's good for discussion.
I have a name for the series. I have a name for the series. We could call it Blood on the Carpet.
No.
Blood on the Carpet. What's this?
Blood on the Carpet.
Is that another controversial issue, or you just
that could be the name for the series.
Oh, the series.
A controversial subject.
You just want a bunch of arguments?
She wants another 1% cut. See, she's always about that. Well, I came up with the title, so I get a cut.
I prefer 10.
Nice.
I'm sure you do. I'm just saying, going back to the original, she asked for examples, but the original point is maybe the animal could come up with some, you know, once a month. Jerry, you need to take him aside. Once a month, let's just have a controversial blood on the carpet discussion and not even necessarily have, you might pick one person for each side, but the recruiters are going to polarize on their own, or the listeners will polarize on their own, and then you've got yourself a heated discussion. You want live, you know. And now, you know, I get 10% for coming up with this too, Jerry. Just when you talk to them, I want, you know, just tell them with love from Jeff.
Sure.
I was not on my bike today.
You're just giving him that.
And he deserves every penny.
Yeah, I'm just giving him that. Just there you go. Have fun with that. You have the guts to go on week after week. We'll give you something to, you know, get some life into the show.
Well, guys, thanks for hanging out with me. I've got work to do.
Okay.
And again,
my
blog's for sale. Some of my gardening equipment is for sale.
Corn burners for sale.
Are you having a garage sale this weekend?
The corn burner is for sale.
Is
See,
it?
I told you.
Corn is $4 a bushel now.
It's called a corn burner. What does it do?
We went through this
a couple of years ago.
That's offline. Sorry.
I heat my home with corn, or at least I did before they. Don't get me started.
Why is corn $4 a bushel? Because gas is so high.
Because they're this whole ethanol craze, which is just wacky, stupid.
Wacky.
Has
they're using it for ethanol.
Yeah.
I would have said it's corny.
What did corn used to be?
It is corny.
A bushel.
There you go.
$1.70, $1.68.
Yeah.
Yeah, so I heat my home by burning corn outside. It boils water. It sends it into my registers, and it goes throughout my whole home. But at $4 a bushel, it cost me $800 to heat my home in the winter.
Well, that still sounds cheap.
$800?
Yeah.
No, not for
how much
heat.
Is it cost?
Not for gas.
Probably like $2,500 for oil.
Well,
not
oil,
month.
Natural gas.
I'm talking per month, Maureen.
Oh, $800 a month?
Yeah.
Yeah, that's too much.
Yeah.
I have a pretty big house.
This has been the Economic Hour with Jerry Albright.
Yeah.
Yeah, interesting, isn't it?
Well, I again, thanks, everybody, for hanging out, and we'll see you next week. Enjoy the Memorial Weekend.
Yeah.
Even though Obama, for the first time ever as a president, is refusing to go to Arlington Cemetery?
Why?
Really?
I don't know. He's on vacation this weekend.
He'll be in
Hawaii. Chicago.
He promised the kids he'd go back to Chicago. But, hey, he's going to return to honor Sir Paul McCartney, though, that night. So don't count him out.
That is a slap in the face to everyone who has given their service to this great nation.
He's British, for God's sakes. I love him to death, but he's British.
he's
not American.
Kid, so.
Hey, Blake.
Yes, sir.
I'm redoing the video. So I'm going to be calling you this afternoon, and we're just going to do about a 15-minute snapshot.
Great.
In that example, it just goes on too long. People don't need to see the whole thing. They just need to see the mechanics of it.
You can't use my audio over and over?
Yeah, you can, but I want to do a different one.
That was really good, though.
We're going to just highlight your career in 15 seconds.
Okay.
Like a...
I've got my...
Shouldn't be easy to do, man.
Like when you're dying, your life flashes before
you. I've got my cervical traction appointment here in about 15 minutes, so...
Well, call me in a couple hours. Call me later.
All right, bye.
All right, see you all later. Have a great weekend.
Bye, everybody. Jerry.
Bye.